What's up, guys? Today on Sports Spectrum, we got a really unique conversation. It's our friends from the baseball world. We get to talk to Adam Wainwright, longtime Major League Baseball pitcher, 200 career wins over 18 seasons, and he retired late last year with the St. Louis Cardinals, and now he's a broadcaster with Fox Sports here in 2024. He's also a musician, and his new album released back in February 23rd. He even got to play the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. Adam's very serious about his music. He explains how that all came about too. So it's great to have Adam Wainwright. And we also have our friend Scott Linebrink. Scott is the host of the Get in the Game podcast on Sports Spectrum's podcast network. And he has a great show about serving and giving back. So highly recommend you listen to Scott. He pitched for a long time in the big leagues as well, 12 years. And Scott and Adam are friends and actually have connected through the ministry that Scott works with, Water Mission. Now, we love Water Mission, a Christian engineering nonprofit, safe water, sanitation, hygiene solutions. That's what they do in, you know, third world countries all across the world. And it's watermission.org is the website. And Scott and Adam actually went on a trip together to learn more about what Water Mission does. And they were both changed in many ways, transformed in a lot of ways. Scott actually working and serving with Water Mission now. And Adam is certainly serving with Water Mission in the way that he donates and gives back and helps see actual tangible results to provide that clean water and the safe sanitation that you and I take for granted. So I love this conversation. Scott Linebrink, Adam Wainwright, it's coming to you right now here on Sports Spectrum. Before we get there, actually, just want to remind you about our magazine. Make sure you're subscribing to Sports Spectrum's magazine, our quarterly magazine. Go to sportsspectrum.com to subscribe right now. Our spring edition is out. It's baseball-centric, so this podcast is perfect for talking about the magazine. So go get your copy right now over at sportsspectrum.com. When you check out, use the code PODCAST15 and save 15% off a one-year subscription to Sports Spectrum's magazine. Subscribe today. It's faith-filled, family-friendly content, clean sports content, perfect for the kids. sportsspectrum.com and subscribe today to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Hey guys, today on Sports Spectrum, I'm so excited to welcome two friends to the show. Both have been guests on the podcast before. The first is our friend Scott Linebrink, who is the host of the Get in the Game podcast on Sports Spectrum. Hey, Scotty.
Pleasure to be here. Always How you doing, Jason?
Always good to see you. People call you Liney. I call you Scotty. I hope that's okay.
Liney, Liner, Liner, late for dinner, whatever you want.
And then there's our other guest who is not late for dinner. He was 30 seconds early to this podcast recording. He is Adam Wainwright, former MLB pitcher. What's up, Wayno?
Morning. Thanks for having me on, guys. Absolutely. 30 seconds earlier than I normally am.
That's good. That's good. Right on time. If you want to go by those measures. I will say this. Does it sound weird hearing former MLB pitcher?
Yeah, it does a little bit. I had to catch myself this morning because I was telling my son, I just gave him some baseball cards, and we were all excited about opening him when he gets home from school today. And so I was like, yeah, you know, that's like all the best Major League Baseball players in the Major League, like all the best baseball players in the Major Leagues right now. And my daughter Sadie goes, are you in it? And I went, well, no, not in this one. These are new cards, so I'm not in these cards. But last year's cards, I was in there. You know, so it is a little funny.
That's good.
You'll get used to it.
Yeah, I'm good with it either way. So,
was that hard for you, Scott, to retire, to kind of call yourself a former pitcher and kind of transition out?
You know, I don't think so. I think I was looking for an exit strategy. I was really concerned about how it would end, and I think a lot of us are. You know, are we just going to be ineffective for a couple of years? Am I going to like be asked to leave? Mine was because of an injury, so I physically couldn't do it anymore. And I think that kind of helped a little bit. But I think we all go through a period of transition afterwards. But mine was about a year just spent figuring out what to do. And once the dust settled, though, I think I jumped in feet first.
Adam, we're in the midst of spring training here and getting ready for another season, and you're not getting ready for a season. Is it weird not just to hear the words former pitcher, but to actually not be doing what you'd normally have been doing the last, I don't know, 20 years to prepare for a season?
I don't know if it's weird or if I'm just like so ready to not be preparing anymore that I'm kind of good with it. I have to acknowledge that, like, I absolutely loved every second of competing and playing. And at the last couple of years, I also have to acknowledge that I was kind of over putting in the prep that it takes to be great. You know, I mean, I really took that seriously for a very, very long time. Going into camp, I felt like if I could go into camp in better shape than everyone else, or in more prepared to compete than everyone else, or at least in my mind, everyone else, right? then that was going to give me an edge, you know, and I was going to be able to perform better that way. And I trained really, really hard, really intense for a long time. In the last couple of years, first of all, I wasn't able to physically. I wasn't able to to train like I used to do. And then you kind of, I think when you lose that drive to want to do the prep to be great, it's time to step away. You know, I think that's when you know. Well, that's when I knew, anyways. It was time to go when I realized all the little things that you have to do to be great. I just wanted to go pitch. And I just wanted to, like, I'm trying to convince myself the hay's in the barn, right? Like, how much more do I have to do, really? I've been doing this for years, right? I should be able to. But the simple facts are you still have to put in the work to be great. And once I start, I still did it. I just didn't like doing it anymore. And that used to be like my favorite part. Was like, man, I'm getting such an edge right now. I'm gaining this, and I'm doing this, and you know, I'm just fired up to go in the gym again, you know. And now I'm like, I walk by the gym now and I'm like, I remember you. That was a good run, you know. And now I'm having fun not being in spring training right now. I love spring training. It's probably my favorite time of year with my family. But I've also loved being here in spring. I'm going to get to turkey hunt this year, you know. I'm going to get to fish in the spawn this year on our lake. And you know, all these things I never have gotten to do. So we're going to do.
Yeah. Now you get to be a broadcaster too with MLB, which is kind of cool. How, I mean, you've been preparing for that moment for a couple of years, I feel like, in the postseason when they brought you on and had you kind of, you know, guest analyst for some of the games. But was this something you were always thinking about as well?
I wouldn't say always, but certainly the last few years, probably the last 5 years. I've done it 3 times now. I think I've done it 3 out of the last 4 years. People started asking me, you know, because I do a lot of those. I used to do a lot of those in-game interviews, you know, the fourth inning, third inning, fourth inning, where they're all my teammates are throwing sunflower seeds on me the whole time and stuff. But I really liked talking baseball with those guys. That's kind of how I figured out I wanted to maybe jump into the broadcasting world. Is I really liked kind of those in-game talks and talking about the game on a deeper level, you know. And I love teaching the game to young teammates and fans that ask questions. Here's the facts of it. I love the game of baseball. And inside the game of baseball, there's the art to pitching that I love, love, love the art of pitching. And my favorite competition in all of sports is the pitcher versus the hitter. And I love breaking that connection down.
Scott, you must love hearing that. That must be music to your ears.
You know, what I was thinking about as Adam was talking is I don't think a lot of people have a deep appreciation for the work that goes in behind the game and what it takes for, you know, I mean, for me, I was out there for like 15 minutes, if I'm lucky. But I mean, the amount of time that we spend preparing all day, you know, going all the way back to spring training, like you're talking about, it is exhausting. And I can appreciate what Adam said there. And so, you know, that's why for me, I think baseball was also such a tough game because, you know, everything leads up to this one moment and you have this brief opportunity to really shine. And when it works out, it's great. Right? Like you get to look back and see all the prep work and all the time that you put in the gym and the bullpens and the mental preparation. And it's like, it worked. It feels good to be part of a team win. But man, when it doesn't, it stinks. And that's why I enjoyed the bullpen because, you know, I have a bad day. I get to go out there tomorrow and try to redeem myself. But, man, when you get in those slumps, as any starter or reliever does, It can really mess with your head, and you try to work harder and think like the harder I work, the more prepared I can be. I can change those outcomes. But really for me, it has to be about, and this was a prayer that I prayed every time I went out and pitched, is God, just let me use the talents you've given me and let me be okay with whatever results may happen. Because you can do everything perfectly right. You can get that ground ball, or you can, get that key out, and it may still not work out. Through no fault of your own. It just, you got to be able to accept that and move on. So it was a mental grind for me. I think that's what really wore on me more than anything, is just having to go out there day after day and put in the time and the effort to be great, like Adam said, to do the job and hope it works out. But man, after a while it gets exhausting.
Yeah. Adam, did you have a prayer like that? Was there a specific prayer that you prayed before each time you took the mound?
Yeah. You know what? Let me see if I can find it. I have a prayer kind of written down
Yeah.
that I think would be a cool thing to read here.
All right.
I think I'll be able to locate it
This is
in
real
the
time,
next.
Scott. We're not going to edit this out. Wayno has left the screen. He's going to find a prayer, and we're just going to keep going. I'm not editing nothing.
If I can't locate it in the next 20 seconds, I'll bag it and I'll just kind of go by memory.
Well, and
Absolutely.
all the new age pitchers, they have all every pitch that they're going to throw written on their sleeve. So I'm just wondering if Adam has this prayer written on his other sleeve.
Oh.
Well, shoot, where is it? It should be right here. If it's not right here, I'm coming right back.
I love this. I love this. This is good. So, Scott, Adam
Yeah.
has left us. He's going to find his prayer.
All right.
Oh,
I
he's
can't find
back.
it.
I was going to try and
But
vamp here.
it should have been right there, but it's, I think I emptied my bag out the other day and it's gone somewhere
Well,
else to
give
live.
us a
But
mindset. Like, even if you don't have it memorized, what was the gist of it?
yeah, I mean, I've got it pretty very loosely memorized. But
Yeah.
so first thing I always asked was that, and I looked at my performance as a form of worship. So, if he's gifted me with these talents, please allow me to go out there and use the gifts that you've given me to glorify your kingdom. So that's always the start, right? But then I kind of got a little David in there on me. Like, Lord, you say pray about everything, and I'm asking for complete domination today. Allow me to go out there and absolutely shove. And like, I mean, sometimes I get a little personal too, and just embarrass the other team. Just use the talent that you've given me today and be ultra focused and ultra. I'm prepared. You've prepared me. I'm ready. I'm ready for this moment. Allow me to go out and just completely dominate and give you all the glory, and take none of that for me, but use it all to enhance your kingdom. And it's kind of like a Braveheart moment for me. I would turn my music on. There's this old song that I would turn on, and it would kind of build up slow. And right as I hit the final prayer, Lord, just let me go out and absolutely dominate. The music kind of kicks on, and I just turn the music on for that one little bit. And as I pray that out, God, I wish I could find that piece of paper, man. I'll send you a picture of it. But
Yeah.
it's I wrote it down. I woke up in the middle of the night like 10 years ago. And I wrote this prayer down on whatever piece of paper was in my rental in spring training. And so it's on this, like, it looks like a flowery, like he allows me to lay down by, in cool pastures or whatever that psalm is that I'm choking on right now. And it's like this little frilly piece of paper, and I write this thing down, this like Braveheart prayer on it. But I use that every time, and I feel like it got me into the right mindset to go out and, because I feel like, you know what, as a Christian athlete, I don't think we're supposed to be so passive as some people think. Oh, just let me go out there and I don't care if I win or lose, and I'm like, man, I don't know. He gave me
Yeah.
this platform. People will say, like, I don't think he cares about winning. I'm like, I don't know that for sure. Maybe God does care about me winning this game. Maybe he wants me to lose this game. I don't know. But I'm going in prepared, and I'm going in focused, and I'm going in with a mindset that I'm going to dominate, and I'm going in with the thought, because I just never like putting words in God's mouth unless it's in his word. If he said it, then I know he said it. But when people say God doesn't blah, 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 I don't know that. I don't know if he cares. Like, to say he doesn't care about winning, I don't know if that's true, because he definitely uses performers and athletes in these big moments. He definitely gives platforms to certain people on occasion, for sure, to go out and win so that we can glorify him and increase his kingdom. So I always prayed with that kind of mindset.
Was last year harder when it wasn't going your way every time you went on the mound, to still have the prayer and the first of all, the confidence that you could continue to go out there, but secondly, the confidence that God was who he was, whether you could spin it or not?
Yeah, absolutely. It was harder. And the thing about praying that prayer, right, is if you have 100% belief in it, you have 100% belief in your abilities as an athlete, if you have 100% belief in your abilities to go out and perform, then you're going to perform at a very high level. Win or lose, you're going to perform at a very high level. And if you kind of say that prayer and you don't have 100% belief in your abilities, and you're always kind of like in the back of your mind, like, oh, man, I really want to, but I'm not sure if I can. That's when it gets tough. And that's the way my mentality was before I was saved. And that's the way my mentality was when I struggled from time to time in the minor leagues. But that never was my mindset once I got to the big leagues, until I battled some injury stuff. And I'll tell you, if you look real close, man, these grays... Some of these grays, I'm going to look like Scott Lambrink in a little bit.
You don't have to look close to me.
These things, there wasn't a gray in this beard 2 years ago. In 2021, J.A. Happ was a teammate of mine. J.A. looked at me and goes, why don't you have any grays in your beard? And I went, dude, because I keep it tight, man. Like, you know, why would I have any grays? I'm a young fella, you know, and I was 40 years old. But then once my ERA started getting up to about 7, you know, this last year, and I was hurting like crazy, and these things started popping up left and right, man. It's battling some negative thoughts, and these things were popping up. It could have been coincidence, but I don't know.
Interesting. One more thing on you post baseball career is this music career, Time to Fly. I listened to the song yesterday twice, and I was like, this is a really good song. And we had kind of seen glimpses, if anybody's ever been to Adam Wainwright or to the conference and seen Adam Wainwright, every so often you might break out a guitar. We've seen you, and you've seen glimpses on social media. You put some songs up there, but this was on Spotify. So it's actually a recorded song, and this is a real area that you want to enter into.
Yeah, it is. So that kind of happened by accident. I mean, I loved playing, and Scott's a great, you should hear Scott Lambrink play guitar and sing. He's great. Really, really good. Way better on the guitar than I am. But I'm a three chords and the truth kind of player with the guitar. But I love to sing, and I love to write. Even more than singing and playing, I love to write songs. It's my favorite part of the whole thing. Creating something new is just, I feel like that's really neat. There's an artistry there that I've loved tapping into. But, you know, I was at Matt Holliday's house in spring training in 2000. I think it was 17. Pretty sure it was 2017. And he had a house down in Jupiter, Florida. And he would say, hey, Adam, get your guitar, bring it over. And I'd bring it over. And then, you know, we'd have 10, 20 guys sitting around. We'd sing songs all night and have fun. I'd take requests. And then if I knew it, I'd play. And if not, I'd get my little phone out and, you know, guitar chords and play it. And we had a great time. And one night his neighbor, Ryan Baker, was there. And Ryan Baker's dad was there, Gary. And Ryan would play with me occasionally. And so we were playing and singing and having a great time. And then I get done playing. And Ryan's dad walks over to me and goes, well, you know, we should make some music together. And I go, yeah, let's make some music together, you know. Why should we make some music together? And he's like, well, you're not that bad. I think I could help you be pretty good. And I was like, oh, yeah, are you a musician? He's like, yeah, a little bit. And I was like, you write any songs? He's like, I've written a couple songs. And I said, well, play me a couple songs that you've written. And so he played me a song called I Swear.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. And he played me a song called I'm Already There.
Heard of it.
And then so I went, wait, time out. You wrote those songs? John Michael Montgomery, you know, took it number one in the country world, but All for One took that global, I Swear. And then I'm already there, Lone Star, number one for sure. I know that was a number one. He goes, yeah, I've written eight number ones. And so he's written eight number one country music hits. His name's Gary Baker. And Gary and I have become fast friends. But he said, you know, as soon as I heard that, I went, all right, I do believe we should make some music. Yeah, that sounds fun. He goes, if you ever get song ideas, just send them to me and we'll, you know, we'll look at it. See if you got something and I'll help you write them and whatever. And so I just started sending him songs, you know, in 2000. It took me a couple years because I was a little hesitant to get involved with that. But 2019, I started sending him songs. And in 2020, during the COVID deal, I wrote a song called One Day They Won't. And he called me back and he said, all right, buddy, you're starting to get there. This is you're onto something here. This is a really great song. And I started making music just to have stuff to play around the campfire. That just so I could have my own stuff. Hey, y'all want to hear a song I wrote? You know, whatever. And it turned out to be bigger than that. And so I got an album coming out February 23rd.
Wow.
Time to Fly was my first single we released, but it was just a song I wrote for Cardinals Nation. It was just an appreciation for them. But, you know, I want Cubs fans buying the album too, so I didn't put that on the album.
Smart.
Yeah. So, but it's 12 songs on a vinyl record, and I got 13 songs in digital release coming out. It'll be on everywhere, anywhere you buy your music, it'll be there. Anywhere you stream your music, it'll be there. I'm also pressing some vinyl records and some CDs too, just to be able to say I did it, man. I love that kind of stuff. But it's coming out. I'm playing Grand Ole Opry March 9th. So pretty excited about that.
Wow. All right. Well, that's awesome. Everybody listening, go get Adam Wainwright's new album and watch him on Fox and, you know, do the baseball broadcasting thing too. Scott, I'm going to defer to you here. I'm going to just step back for a few minutes because I do want you guys to talk about Water Mission. Watermission.org is the website. It's a great ministry, a Christian nonprofit. I'd love for you, because you represent them, Scott, and you're an ambassador for them, for you and Adam just to kind of banter back and forth for a few minutes here before our time is up on the great work Water Mission's doing.
Yeah, well, Adam and I both got introduced to Water Mission at the same time, and we took a trip together. Adam, I was thinking about this. That's almost exactly 10 years ago. But we took our wives down to Haiti. And we were with Don Christensen, our financial advisor, and Brad Henderson, the chaplain in Pittsburgh, and his wife, Beth, and Kyle McClellan and his wife, Bridget. Some other folks were down there. We had this great group. And I just remember how impactful that trip was. One, just because we were in a place like Haiti. And I have thought back so many times to the lessons that I learned on that trip about what poverty really looks like, about what solutions for poverty have to include. I saw this great organization, Water Mission, that was doing great work. We also saw the great work of Brad and Beth, who'd been going to Haiti for 30 years and caring for orphans. We got a chance to stay in this orphanage. And my memories of that trip were really just, you know, Adam and I and Kyle and Don, you know, just sitting around hanging out, talking, just, you know, being guys. And the setup was the girls had to sleep in one room and the guys had to sleep in another. And so it was almost like we were on this, you know, church camp, you know, youth retreat. But it really just took us down to, you know, a basic level. We're sleeping on cots, you know, we're not eating a whole lot. We're kind of hungry by the end of the trip. We're going through, you know, being uncomfortable. I mean, one day we came back from this long day and everybody's hot and sweaty and we ran out of water. We couldn't even take a shower. I think I was the last one. And I
you couldn't take a shower. Yeah. I took a shower.
I learned that I can take a shower with three bottles of water. So,
and some wet wipes. I walked in and,
yeah,
and Scott was got a wet wipe going, well, I guess this is what I'm doing.
But yeah, that was an impactful trip. And I think that kind of set in motion a chain of events for me that ultimately led with me accepting a position with Water Mission, and I'm still there today.
Wow. Well, how much has that impacted you, Adam, and your work to be involved with a ministry like Water Mission?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it to the very first night that we were there in Haiti, that trip. I agree with Scott. Incredibly, incredibly impactful. Life-changing trip, honestly. I take it back to the very first night we were there. Brad and Beth always do this thing where you go highs and lows. What was the high? of today and what was the low of today. And the high of the day was just, being on this trip with my great friends and really bonding with people that, I hadn't had a whole lot of time to spend. Scott and I, till that point, we saw each other at PAL, but we never had spent a whole lot of time together. And just kind of doing something different. It's fun, to get out. But the low for me that very first night was, man, the need here in Haiti. It was just so great, the need. The lack of food, the lack of clean water, the roads are bad. There's a different smell in the air. There's, it's trash everywhere. And I'm thinking, God, how can you make an impact? How can this, can we even make a dent, And I remember to fast forward 3 days later when the last night that we were there, we did highs and lows, to see in the little area that we work with right outside of Cap Haitien, to see the difference made with people who are faithful going and just saying, Lord, we personally, yeah, maybe we can't make a dent, but you can make a dent. And you give us this yearning after you see something like that, you can't just go once. Man, that gives you this fuel to want to keep doing that and come keep being a part of something that's making a difference. Because that night I remember saying, all right, I remember what I said 3 days ago. But right here where we are, this is making a big difference. And people around here are greatly affected by it. And people around here have clean water because of Water Mission. And people around here, because of this great orphanage that they built, have hope. And because of this school that they built, they're going to elementary school and middle school and then on to high school a couple of years later. And because of the vocational school there now, they're getting, a trade. And because of all, and just the spider webs, right? You just see it. It's slow. It doesn't happen overnight, but the spider web effect of that area, it's really starting to take hold. And so to be a part of something so great with one of my best friends and Scott Linebrink and our families, and it just doesn't get a whole lot better than that.
And Adam, you're exactly right. I mean, going there and seeing it puts it on a different level. And Adam's been back several times to Haiti, so have I, and we've gone to other countries too in need. When you don't often get a chance to see the people that you're impacting. I mean, for a lot of us, we make a gift to an organization, we hear a great report about work happening around the world, and there's a lot of great organizations doing a lot of great work. I think generosity can be exponentially increased if more people would take the opportunity to go and see the actual impact of what's happening. Because Adam's right. I mean, you come back from a trip like that, you're changed. You can't help but think, okay, I know what I have here and I know what is going on down there. How can I make a transfer of some of the stuff that's here down there so that we can help people out? And serving others, I mean, that's what I talk about on my podcast. I truly believe that serving others is the remedy for so many problems that we deal with today and so many ways that we get, so caught up in ourselves and we're looking inward and why are we having this problem? Why am I having this problem? Go serve someone else. It'll change your outlook on your life and on the life of the kingdom.
Yeah, Adam, you've seen that tangibly seen, and I know I've seen these videos, some of the Big League Impact stuff that you've done with Water Mission, partnering with them. You've seen, like you say, an actual well being built to provide clean water, and I'm just imagining the faces, the reactions of the local people there. It just makes it all. It's got to be something where it just brings you so much joy. It gives you a little bit of an idea of the glimpse of Christ, right? Like the hands and feet of Jesus. Describe that when you saw that for the first time, like a tangible effect and helping these people.
Yeah. Well, what is it? 1 Peter 3:15, I think. Always be ready to give somebody a reason for your hope.
Yes.
And what we got to see in Haiti, and then in Honduras, the next trip I think we went on, Scott, I think was Honduras.
Yep.
We went up to a little town called Coyolis Aldea. And when we were there, as we drove into the area, all the people of the entire village, there's like 1,500 people, were lined out by the road waiting on us with poster boards saying, you know, thanks for coming, thanks for the water, and you know, this stuff. And then Scott and I got hands in there. We helped build latrines for these people. And there's a great program where, you know, you kind of help build your neighbor's latrine, and then the neighbor, you know, they have to help it to get one themselves, and then the next neighbor helps them build theirs to get theirs. And so then all of a sudden they got sanitation, they got clean water. This one place we went was up in this little hill, and you know, the people were literally walking like a mile and a half every day to get clean, to not clean water, to get river water.
Yeah.
And then they walk back up this hill, and you know, the water at the bottom of a hill, that's where all the stuff flows, you know what I mean? It's not the cleanest situation. But now there's a big water treatment or a water mission system up at the top with 21 taps running through that whole village, latrines for the whole village. It's a life-changing situation. With Water Mission in Haiti a couple years ago, we were in Balan, and it was the place where we were going to do our next project. And I said, like, where we pulled over on the side of the road. I'm like, why are we stopped right here? They said, just hang out right here and we'll show you why. And we pulled over on the side of the road, and there's this little mud puddle in the middle of the road that was kind of like water feeding off the side of this hill going through the road. And you know, people are going left and right. This is kind of like the major intersection of this village. And I remember that puddle was like brown, chocolate milk colored water, mud water. And people are driving through it, and dogs are walking through it, and donkeys are walking through it, and people are riding their bikes through it and getting out and washing their shoe off in it, and then driving off. And then the next thing you know, this lady comes over with a big bucket and dips the bucket and puts it on her head and walks home. And I said, what is she going to do with that water? And they said, everything. It's the only water around here. She's going to
Wow.
cook with it, clean with it, wash with it, everything. And I just remember thinking, oh my goodness. And they said, and that's why we're going to put the water tap right here. This is the wells right there. You see that pipe right there? That's the well, man. We're going to build this system right here. But you know, the thing about that hope, get back to hope. When you are laid up on the couch every day, and or on whatever you got in your house, and your stomach hurts because you've got, you know, cholera, or you just feel sick and you don't have clean water, and you don't even want to eat, so you can't go to work and you can't go to school and all these things. You're just trying to survive the next second. And I love that Water Mission is bringing actual hope, because I think it's what, 6 months or 6 weeks even, where 80% of the waterborne illness in an area where they provide one of these systems is completely gone. Then people don't feel sick, they go to work. They don't feel sick, they go to school. They don't feel sick, they go out and they're accomplishing great things in the world. But man, if you feel sick all day long, you can't do those things. You know, so I love being a part of life-changing things like that, and Scott's doing such great work, you know, over there at Water Mission. It's just really inspiring.
Love it.
Yeah, I'll tell you a recent story. I just was in Mexico with some former teammates, and we were down on the border of Guatemala, and we went in this little village, much like what Adam's talking about there in Haiti. And we had these women come up and talk about how they had to choose between sending their kids to school where they knew that there was dirty water being served. At their house, they could at least boil it and make it somewhat safe for their kids to drink. But if they go to school, they know they're just drinking out of the tap and they're getting sick. So imagine as a parent thinking, okay, what do I do? Do I keep my kid at home and deny them of an education and opportunities for future advancement? Or do I send them to school and let them get all that, but I know that they're going to be sick? And it was an impossible choice. And so listening to them talk about what an impact that water system that came in just a few months prior to us being there had made. I mean, they literally tears in their eyes, they're crying. These old men are crying. And one of the guys pointed out to me, he's from Mexico. He said, you don't realize, like, in this culture, men don't cry. It's a very macho culture. He said, for a man to stand here in front of people that he doesn't know around the rest of his village and openly weep to talk about the impact this has made, that means something. And so that really struck me. And I think about, you know, how many times I go out and I have to be shown, you know, by other people that maybe are there for the first time, like, hey, this is impactful. This is making a difference. And I love coming back and relaying stories like that, because again, it can, you know, cause an excitement in someone's heart to want to be a part of that.
That's powerful stuff. Watermission.org is the website. And that's the cool thing about this, Adam, right? Is like, yeah, they might be saying, oh, you guys are former baseball players and you can do all this. What can I do? Well, every little bit helps, right? Like people can donate, people can partner, people can be a part of Water Mission. From anybody listening right now, my wife and I, we partner with Water Mission and give a monthly gift just because we believe in the effect and the power that it has, that hope aspect. Adam, as we close here, one last kind of, I'll leave the floor to you to kind of just share, from your heart about Water Mission and anybody listening why they should get involved.
Yeah, and I think even more than that, I think if you have an urge to get involved and you don't know how to do it, there's a lot of different people you can reach out to that can help you. But go on a trip. Get out there and actually see what poverty, because sometimes we have levels of poverty here in the United States, no question. But the level of poverty in third world countries is a little bit different, and it's just something you need to see. It's a perspective changing moment. Just go out there and take the leap of faith to go and serve. But also know that there's incredible companies that are, organizations like Water Mission that have designed programs. They have trips. They have amazing, amazing, amazing systems that they're putting in place. They have amazing people who work there, obviously. But there's incredible ways to get involved, to make a difference that actually, like, it actually allows people to survive. You know what I mean? That's the things that I get really interested in and helping with. I love lots of different charities, but the basic essential needs, the food, water, shelter, things that we take for granted. I mean, I can go in my cupboard right now I could survive for, a while on some of it's junk food, but I could survive for a while on that food. I could go to the toilet in my bathroom and drink cleaner water than so many, whatever percentage it is of the whole world that's drinking just disgusting, filthy water. That's just, it's literally killing people. So you can get involved with incredible companies or organizations. My favorite, Water Mission, would love to have support from as many people as they could possibly get, I know. And you can make a difference today, and you can help people literally survive today. I can't tell you the difference it's made in my life, being able to know that when I'm, and also faithful, they're faithful with the money that they get. They steward that money so well. It goes in the door, it goes out the door to help people, they're so efficient with that. So I love that about Water Mission.
I love
Yeah,
that.
just to put some numbers around what Adam said, there's 2 billion people in the world that don't have access to safe water. It's a bold, it's an audacious, it's an impossible goal to try to bring water to 2 billion people. But how can we do that? We can do that through partnerships. And everybody listening here has an opportunity to tell someone, to get involved, to go on a trip. Go to watermission.org. You can see that you can become a thirst quencher, like Jason, you were saying, a monthly donor. For $50, you can change the life of one person. So, it is a big, broad goal. There's a lot of people out there, but we can also shrink it down to an individual, and we can all do something to change the life of one individual.
Yeah, it starts with the one. I appreciate both Scott Linebrink and Adam Wainwright for being here on Sports Spectrum. Wayno, congrats on a great career, my friend. All the best on the next career in the music world, in the broadcasting world. Scott, always appreciate you as well. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the time.
And many thanks to Adam Wainwright and Scott Linebrink for being our guests today on Sports Spectrum. Scott's a great friend, and I've known Scott a long time. He does the Sports Spectrum Get in the Game podcast, which I hope you subscribe to as well, wherever podcasts are found. And of course, Adam was one of the original guests that we had on this show way back in 2017. We're now 7 years into the Sports Spectrum podcast. Praise God that he has seen this venture through. And praise God for Adam Wainwright's career and what he's doing right now, not just playing music. His music, by the way, is sort of country music centric if you listen to it. It's out there now. Go to Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your music and listen to Adam's new album. It's crazy, right? Adam Wainwright, baseball player, retired less than a year, and he's got an album out of music. But you'll also see him as baseball gets started here in a couple days. You'll also see him on the Fox broadcasts. each weekend. So there's some great opportunity for Adam Wainwright to still be in the game of baseball. And what a career he had. 18 years with the Cardinals, 200 career wins, three-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glover, two-time World Series champion, and just one of the great dudes that you'll ever come across in the world of sports, much less the world of baseball. One of the great ambassadors for baseball, Adam Wainwright. And again, thanks to Scott Leinbrink. Thanks to Adam for helping us put together today's show here on Sports Spectrum. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. You can find us at our website, sportsspectrum.com. All of our content is there. If you're looking for devotionals, if you're looking for different articles and stories, if you're looking for podcasts, Scott's podcast, this podcast, are all available at sportsspectrum.com. And then whatever app you're listening to today's show on, make sure you subscribe or follow. Maybe it's YouTube that you're watching. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. And maybe you're listening on Spotify or Apple or Amazon or iHeart Podcast. Whatever it is, click subscribe or follow so that you don't miss any more episodes of the Sports Spectrum podcast. We love you guys. We're so glad that you tuned in. And we'll see you next time with another conversation right here on the show.